That was Gerard Mayo today talking about an advantage or perceived advantage that the Jaguars may have for not having to go back to America in between games in England after they got their butts spanked by the Chicago Bears last Sunday morning. This Sunday morning, they will get in the New England Patriots, another team with a rookie quarterback, another team that's 1-5 just like they are. And we'll get to the Jaguars scouting report in just a minute. In the meantime, let's get back to your phones here before the scouting report starts. Tim is in Hanover. Go ahead, Tim.
Gentlemen, love to hear you every day.
Thank you, Tim.
And I just want to say, Christian, you're so right, man. I just don't want to see this brass go ahead and do any moves buying new guys and paying for guys that are average. We need elite guys. We need at least one or two good elite guys if they want to choose anyone before the draft comes and the real buying starts. But we got to just see what we got and don't make any Mickey Mouse moves and let's better the team. Because I tell you what, look at Washington, like you were saying, both you guys were saying. Washington's bypassed us. Kingsbury's taking care of a great quarterback to be. And then the same thing with Chicago, Williams, all these guys. Even the kid last night was playing, Knicks. He's looking good under Peyton. And I don't really care for Peyton, but I'll tell you what, Peyton's great with quarterbacks. So you know what? He's making them all better. We need someone to make this kid better and have the team and place the guys in place to make it a better team.
Yeah, Tim, I'm with you. And I think that there's something to be said for that. Now, when it comes to spending or being in on guys like Adams and Cooper, I think Adams is still elite. I don't know if we agree on that, Andy, or not, but I still think Davante Adams is and can be an elite receiver in the league in the right situation, obviously. I mean, Randy Moss was in Oakland with the Raiders there with, what was the kid's name from Arizona State that was his quarterback?
Andrew Walters.
Andrew Walters, who was here for a little bit too, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
He was out there with him. He was miserable, and then he comes to a good situation, and he has the best season any wide receiver's ever had in the history of the league. So, like, I think Adams is still capable of being productive. And, yes, obviously it was a bag job. He was going to go play with the Jets, and with his binky there, Aaron Rodgers, fine. But, you know, in terms of Cooper and these other guys, even if you don't think you're going to get him, you don't make a phone call, you don't kick the tires, you don't try and get in on him, you don't try and at least show that you're interested in putting an elite playmaker, or in Cooper's case, a very much above, I don't know if he's elite, but he's definitely above average wide receiver, and he's much better than anything you have in that locker room. I just don't see what the harm is. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
I do. You might win games. And if you win games, you hurt your overall overhaul of this football team. And that is where I am like this. I am on point. See, eye to eye. Another short guy, Elliot Wolf. Another short guy who walks around
couple
with his chest
kings.
Held high.
Yes. Couple Napoleons.
A little bit. But Noah, I think he... Because we always talk about this, right? Like, no one tells players to lose. Well, maybe the Dolphins. Maybe that whole era there where they got in trouble.
Right.
But for the most part, tanking is done in roster management, roster building,
yeah.
Roster
taking
down.
It's not done on the
down.
Field. I agree. Yeah, it's
right.
Not done on the field.
And I think Elliot Wolf might be crazy like a fox doing that right beneath our eyes, and it took us a while to really figure it out with the offensive line, figure it out with, yeah, we're not really looking to upgrade anything. And I think he also told us, remember when, I believe it was him, was very definitive, like, we're going to play more younger players as the year goes on. As the year goes on, we're going to get younger on the football field. And
because we're going to trade away our veterans at the deadline? I thought they don't tank. Wolf's the one who was very defiantly saying, oh, we're way above tanking. We'd never tank.
But that's where I think he's telling you, it's not about tanking. It's about getting the experience for our young players. If we get experience for Drake May, then we should get experience for Javon Baker and Wallace and Laydon Robinson. Whoever can stay healthy gets on the football field.
Those guys might be better than your actual veterans. So, you know, that's not saying much, I don't think.
And that's true. And either way, you win, because if they're good, okay, they're good. You prove that they're good. And if they're not, you figure out, well, Javon Baker's not who we thought he might be, right? Like, we're not any further on in the wide receiver. The other thing I'll say is, very simply, I am still all in on T. Higgins, and I saw somebody trying to take snake me on Twitter today, one of those aggregation accounts.
Oh, Savage Sports, I saw that.
Yeah, when he was like, I got an idea here. We should go all in on T. Higgins and make him the number one. Like, yeah, no kidding. I've been saying it for a year and a half. Where the hell you been?
I thought maybe that was your burner there, the Savage Sports.
No, people think I'm Boston Cream or something is a burner.
Not sure.
No, people really do.
Boston Cream, I don't know who that is.
It's like a Hardo account that tweets about like James Devlin and fullbacks and stuff like that.
I mean, that does track, I'll say, yes. I'm not familiar with that. You're going to have to show it to me. I do know Savage Sports. He posted an out-of-context clip of me once about Drake May that I didn't appreciate, but that's okay. I mean, a lot of people took that and ran with it. It was in the preseason, and I said that if the Patriots, because they didn't play him in the first game, and I said if they bench him in the second game and don't play him there either, I feel like that's going to say something about what they think about the pick and what they think about him and sort of everything else. Because that's when you play your backup, right? You play him in game two of the preseason, and if they don't do that, what are they signaling to everybody? They don't want to even show him in the preseason. I thought that was iffy, and he clipped it to make it sound like I was saying the Patriots hate Drake May, which is not what I was saying. I was saying if they didn't play him in game two, which they did, so it was kind of a moot point, but it was a hypothetical we were exploring, and it just got clipped out of context. Listen, I've been on the air a long time. Things happen like that. It's not the end of the world, but I do
brag.
I've been on the air
a long time.
I have. Hey, you know, I mean, listen.
I've had a long career in this industry.
I said long. I didn't say good. I said it's been long. But, you know, and that Savage guy, I've dealt with stuff like that getting taken out of context. It's no big deal. Anyway, let's get to our Jacksonville Jaguars scouting report. There we go. Thank you, Stiz. All right, time to take a look at one of the worst teams in the NFL, a team that you'll probably be competing for the first overall pick in the draft, the very coveted number one overall pick there, Andy Hart. Who do you think finishes with a better record before we even start this? Patriots or the Jaguars?
Probably the Patriots.
Really?
I think their energy is better. I think the Jaguars are circling the drain, to steal one of our segments.
They might fire their head coach, get the dead cat bounce from the head coach getting fired, which the Jets did not get, by the way.
No, they didn't.
But it could happen for the Jaguars. Anyway, last week was another step in that direction as the Jags got drubbed in England, 35-16 at the hands of the Bears. Trevor Lawrence had an interception. Ingram had a fumble. A lot of short fields for Chicago, I remember having. At some point, Cole Kmet was the long snapper for the team, and Doug Peterson now on the hottest of seats. Gabe Davis dropped a touchdown pass on the first drive. Really a dysfunctional mess is what this Jaguars team is. And while Lawrence and the offense is getting a lot of the attention because of what maybe people expected from them, the defense is 31st in the league in points allowed at 29.7. They're giving up 30 points a game. And 31st in the league in yards allowed. They're giving up almost 400 yards total per game. At 390-something, which is just...
Yikes.
Considering how offense is kind of down, period, this year, it's weird that that's even a thing. Like, I didn't think there were any teams out there giving up that much, but they are. Offensively, they're on the low end of the spectrum. Closer to the middle, though, I'd say 22nd in points per game at 18.8, 18th in yards per game at 319.5. Imperfect ways of gauging these things, but I think it does give a clear picture of this defense. This defense blows. You should be able to go out there and do something against this defense.
And I don't watch a lot of Jags games, thankfully. I'll have to watch one Sunday morning.
I know.
But
T's and P's to all of us.
What's the deal with the guy they took over Aiden Hutchinson a couple years ago? The Trayvon, is it Trayvon Walker? Trayvon Walker?
Oh, right. I don't know.
I don't think he's done much. And I don't hear a lot about that. Like, that's a bad pick. Aiden Hutchinson is one of the best defensive players in football. He's
Trayvon Walker, yeah, first overall. That's right, out of Georgia.
What the hell does he do? What the hell does he do? Because doesn't seem like he's... they shouldn't be 30 with Josh Allen, who's a pretty good player, and Trayvon Walker, the number one overall pick. That defensive front should not be giving up more yards than, like, anybody in football.
Yeah. Let's see. 2 years ago. No, last year he had 10 sacks. This year he's got 5, so he's not bad. But, yeah, you're right. He's not a...
I have not heard a word about him.
I hadn't either. But, yeah, he's doing okay this year. He's a decent year last year.
I wonder
year.
If it's fake numbers. I wonder if he's like a paper
stat pattern
champion. Paper, yeah.
Could be one of those. Anyway, for the offseason, some additions and subtractions. They extended Trevor Lawrence. They extended Josh Allen, not the quarterback, but the pass rusher, who's pretty good. They signed Eric Armstead from the Niners, Ronald Darby, Devin DuVernay, Darnell Savage, and Gabe Davis. They also, and I forgot about this, they signed Joey Sly in the offseason. He was a Jacksonville Jaguar very briefly.
Oh, yeah.
They then drafted a kicker and cut him, but he was originally signed by the Jags. They also traded back to draft Brian Thomas. They took defensive tackle Mason Smith, both of those guys, LSU guys, and cornerback Jerrion Jones, who is their backup nickelback. Mason Smith is one of their backup defensive ends, and Brian Thomas is one of their starting wide receivers and maybe one of the more underrated picks in this draft. Another guy who wasn't the main guy on his team in college, but is looking like he could be that for these Jaguars.
I am going to make a proclamation here that is dangerous at best.
Okay.
Brian Thomas is going to have a longer, more productive career than Malik Nabers.
Ooh.
Yep.
Based
he's
on?
Already their, he's already their number one receiver. I believe he leads them with like 25 receptions. He's made big plays.
I mean, Nabers is the Giants' number one receiver, too. But yeah.
No, I know. I'm not sure I'm sold on Nabers' whole comportment, packaging, work ethic, all of that. And it's not just the... I mean, he's got a concussion right now. There's nothing he can do about that. But I just... I think Nabers might be more of a diva receiver, and I think Brian Thomas is pretty close in terms of talent, and I think I like his makeup better.
Okay. Off-season drama for the Jaguars. There was a little bit. They fired their defensive coordinator, Mike Caldwell. They replaced him with Falcons defensive coordinator, Ryan Nielsen. I just gave you the defensive numbers. That has not gone well so far. They gave a big, big contract extension to Trevor Lawrence. And they looked like a contender 2 years ago. That was when Lawrence was a Pro Bowler. They won a playoff game in the division round. They only lost to the Chiefs by one touchdown. Lawrence fell off hard last year. The team missed the playoffs, and they gave him the extension anyway. And I think that's a great example and a great cautionary tale of these quarterbacks and these huge contracts that you have to give out if you want to keep them around. Lawrence was one of those guys who was sort of right in between. 2022 looked like he was on path to be that guy and be one of the top receivers in the AFC or maybe in the NFL. 2023, it falls off, and they have a decision to make. They may have made the wrong call here. Would you say that extending Trevor Lawrence was a mistake on their part? They'd have to go back into the draft and start all over again, but it's starting to look like that a little bit.
I think it was probably a mistake that everybody would have made, like if I can phrase it that way.
Yeah, I agree.
I think you would have had to have the biggest of biggest stones on the table to walk away from Trevor Lawrence because he's not terrible. There's flashes of he's a pretty good player. He's not what he was supposed to be. I'm not going to say he's a generational talent and lives up to all that. But that's that weird in-between land. We always talk about it in the NBA, like you're in that weird, you're not great, you know, but you're not a lottery team and you get stuck there. I feel like they're kind of stuck there with Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, it looks that way. Players to watch. There's Evan Engram, the tight end, who they got from the Giants, who's been very good for them. I think he's been Lawrence's top target. He did have that big fumble in the start the second half last week, but has been pretty consistent. You can get around, you know, between 60 to 100 yards on any given Sunday. There's Travis Etienne. If he plays, I think he's a limited participant, but expected to play in this game. Thomas, who you mentioned, Christian Kirk, who I like, you don't so much. Josh Allen, and that's about it. I mean, there's not too much else to speak of on this roster.
No. I Trevor Lawrence is going to decide, and you're stuck with it. So you're building around Trevor Lawrence. Like, if you get the number one pick or number two pick, you're building around Trevor Lawrence, so that's either give him another stud receiver, that's either... You kind of have two high-end defensive ends, so I don't know that you're going with an edge if you were to get the number one pick. Are they a team that would take a tackle? I don't even know who their starting left tackle is, but maybe you would solidify your offensive line with a tackle team, but I don't think they're in the quarterback game. I don't know how they possibly could be.
No, I mean, unless they want to make a big, big trade or something along those lines, but it's hard to trade a mediocre quarterback with a max contract, so yeah.
Especially with... There was like 100-something million guaranteed. I don't know cap-wise if they could even really pull it off without sort of tearing it down even further.
Yeah, they'd have to find another similar situation maybe, but even that would be tough to do. Former Patriots and Jaguars playing in this game. We know one big one. The backup quarterback for your Jacksonville Jaguars, Mr. McCorkle Mac Jones.
You know where he is right now?
In London.
I lost it. Yeah, having dinner, Friday night dinner with Sophie at some place in London.
Oh, well, that's nice. You lost it? What do you mean you lost it?
It was on my Instagram story and, whatever.
You follow Sophie or you follow Mac?
I think I follow Mac.
Okay.
I'm not really big into the wags.
Well, that's good. let's see, who else? Mac Jones. Jermichael Hasty played for the Jaguars?
Yes.
Daniel Aquale, also a former Jaguar, now with the Patriots.
Not great.
And that's it. Those are the only three that are currently going to be playing in this
game.
Does
Mac Jones play in this game?
I say no. I don't think he does.
Yeah, I don't think he does
either. I don't think he does unless there's some kind of injury. I don't want to predict that, but I don't think it's going to be like a blowout one way or the other.
I don't either.
That's going to have him coming in garbage time. I don't think there'll be garbage time, if that's what you're asking.
Right.
The all-time Patriots-Jaguars team. You ready for this?
Yes.
Your starting quarterback is Mac Jones because, as you may have heard in Keefe's Keys today, he is the only quarterback to play, an emphasis on the word play, for both New England and for Jacksonville. He's the only one that's actually played for both teams. There's one other quarterback who's been on both rosters but never played, and that's Cody Kessler. He'd be your backup. So Mac Jones, Cody Kessler, pretty intimidating quarterback room there, I got to say.
What do you mean? Number one pick, national champion out of Alabama?
Mm-hmm.
That's an all-time great.
Absolutely. Running back room's a little bit better. Fred Taylor, obviously, the main guy there. There's your bell cow. Behind him is Jermichael Hasty, who we just mentioned, Mark with the C. Edwards, and the great Jonas Gray, who's now popped up on a few of these. Tight end, Kyle Brady, both a Patriot and a Jaguar, along with Jacob Hollister. And then the wide receiver room. You ready for a big big dose of reality here? Your best wide receiver in this group is probably Taylor Price.
Ouch, babe.
That's no good. Taylor Price, Dante Moncrief, Phil Dorsett. Maybe he'd be your number one receiver.
Yeah, Philip Dorsett did more than
He did more than Price. I'd agree with that. J.J. Stokes, and of course, Patriots assistant wide receiver coach, I think he is, Tyquan Underwood, the guy with the big fade who got benched right before a Super Bowl. Didn't that happen? Wasn't he supposed to be on the roster? And then they said, no, we're not gonna have you on the roster.
It definitely happened
the day before, I feel like.
It definitely happened. I believe it was him. It definitely happened.
That was unfortunate. Offensive line, here's a name you probably haven't heard in a while. Eugene Chung. Chung played for the Patriots and
first
the Jaguars.
Long
time ago. No relation to Patrick either, by the way. Mike Compton also on the O-line, and Dan Connolly, who I think is a big stalwart there in the Patriots glory days. On defense, Malcolm Brown, Patriots Super Bowl winner. He was your starting DT on a couple Super Bowl teams there.
Bust of a pick.
Malcolm Brown, Sergio Brown, who was thrown out the club, who I believe is...
Murdered his mother, allegedly.
Right. I was about to say no longer away. That's not what happened. He's probably going away for a while there. I forgot about that.
Burned her in the backyard fire pit, allegedly.
Yeah. Brandon Dedrick, who was part of those Florida teams, a seventh-round pick for the Patriots, who actually had a decent little career, all things considered. Daniel Aquale, who we mentioned. All-time dink Cassius Marsh.
Oh, yes.
Remember him?
All tatted up, yep.
Oh, yeah, tatted up with the crosses and the eye black under his eye. Like, yeah, that guy. And he's had a lot to say since he retired about Belichick and the Patriots.
He thinks he's the most hated man in New England, and no one even really thinks
about it. No one remembered you, man.
Move on.
Come on. Jabal Sheard, who had a couple of good years in New England, was a Jacksonville Jaguar at one point. And a guy who I just added because he went to Colorado, that's Terrence Wheatley, one of the bust picks for the Patriots. Second rounder out of Colorado.
Yep.
Don't remember him in Jacksonville. Don't really remember him here either.
Nope.
Had a bunch of injury problems, and that was that. And there you go. That is your all-time Patriots-Jaguars team. One of the weaker ones that we've put together here so far, I got to say.
Yeah, not great. I feel like a lot of the players are like borderline practice squatter, waiver wire, barely played for either team. Except Fred Taylor.
Fred Taylor.
Fred Taylor. He's
good
a
run game.
Hall of Fame caliber. And Mark Edwards, underrated. I kind of liked Mark Edwards.
I like Mark Edwards.
Not a bruising fullback, but a fullback.
Yeah.
I'll take him.
A lot of blocking up front there with Chung and Compton and Connolly blocking for Taylor. Brady on the end there. He's a decent blocking tight end.
You know Mike Compton?
That's basically all you get. What about him?
Had a weird, I don't know if I want to call it a deformant, disfigurement. His pinky toe was like on top of his foot. It was like on top of the second toe in. And I remember
like a gymnast.
Why, they have that?
Don't Romanian gym, those little girl gym, don't they all have like club feet with like weird toes and stuff like that?
I know ballerinas definitely.
Or maybe it's ballerinas, that's what it is. Yeah, because they have to wear those shoes. There's something like that. I don't know. Anyway, I didn't know
I just
that
remember,
about Mike Compton.
And I remember saying like, well, what's wrong with your toe? Why is it messed up? He's like, how do you know yours isn't messed up and mine's the way it should be? And I was like, touche, I guess evolution. Maybe you were the first of the next great generation of pinky toes.
Got me there, Mike Compton. Yeah, I guess I didn't realize that. All right, there you go. That is your Jacksonville Jaguars scouting report. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll continue with your phone calls right after this.